Math magicians, old guys who still got it, and Mark nearly burns his house down. All that and more on this week's Android App Addicts. Hey everybody, welcome back to Android App Addicts, episode 531. Man, that's a big number. I am your host, Mark, the Sultan of the Soapbox Cockerel, and this week we are joined once again by the solo last week, door-to-door geek, Mr. Steve McLaughlin. Sadly, Eric is not with us once again. He is having continued health issues. Our thoughts and prayers go out to you, Eric. Hope you come back to us soon. But Dor, how are things going with you?
Crazy, and a little bit more crazy. We're getting more snow tonight, so I'm not looking forward to that. I thought we were past that. I say we go. We find that groundhog, and we cook it and eat it like we used to back in the old days. He needs to be stopped.
Yeah, so here in Georgia, it hasn't been snow, but it has been rain. I saw a funny Facebook post that said, to think it's only rained twice this year, once for 35 days, once for 44 days. And that's kind of how it feels. We actually had a sinkhole develop in our front yard. There's a storm drain, and there was some breach there. And I watched those guys pour in three different wheelbarrows full of cement. I don't know how much they did. I just saw them do three to fill in this ginormous sinkhole that is washed away in our front yard. So we'd like to have a little frozen precipitation just to, you know, to get a break from all the rain.
I'm not sure you people down there would know how to act. I'm just saying, unless, of course, you want a day off of work.
Right, that's how we act. We just, it's Netflix and chill all day long. See what I did there? Yeah. Chill, snow. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, I'm a government employee, Mark. Sorry, I'm slow.
So, what, you're getting in the feet of snow and not the inches of snow, I assume?
Oh, no. In Maryland, we rarely get large quantities. Maybe once every 4 to 6 years we get more than a foot, and sometimes it's 2 to 2.5 feet. The problem is when it snows and then it becomes ice, which seems to happen frequenter because of humidity. My logic, I think they're only calling for maybe 3 inches, but it isn't the snow that, you know, I like. It that really drives me nuts. It's the ice.
Yes, ice is the problem. I'm just gonna let that pregnant pause go. Just gonna let it go.
Okay.
You said earlier that you wanted to dedicate this show to somebody, so I will allow you to do that.
Yeah. Each episode now in the beginning, we're going to remind the Patreons who supported us, even if they're not supporting us anymore, that they did support us, and we should dedicate a show to each one, is my logic. I'm hearing a lot of podcasters do that. So this show is brought to you by Bobby Y, a.k.a. Bobby Why Not. Thank you for your patronage. Hope everything is going okay.
Thanks, Bobby. It's people like you who literally keep us going. I mean, in the most literal sense.
Yes, testify. Real quick, Mark. I'm thinking that there are developers out there that know stuff that we don't know of, because I don't know. I'm thinking it might be a cognitive bias kind of thing. In the next month and a half, 2 months, I think we're going to have the Google Developer Conference is happening, I want to say, in 2 weeks. Or the Game Developers Conference, GDC, is happening in, I believe, less than 2 weeks. And Google already has a slot there to do a keynote, which they've never done a keynote before. And everyone is believing the project stream is coming, like, full board. They're going to do more stuff. I keep thinking it's going to somehow be Android compatible. It does seem like in the last 2 weeks, I've seen insane amounts of ports coming from other systems over to Android. I think developers know stuff that we don't know, and I think Google's going to try to literally enter the game, as we have companies like Microsoft, like, sidestepping the game, almost getting out of the console type market. I think we're going to see, like, a shift here very shortly.
So are you saying that you're expecting to see a Google console?
I firmly expect. Well, here's the whole logic. Nintendo, I think, has proven with their sales numbers literally being record breaking. No one has ever came close to their sales numbers kind of thing before, that the hybrid system is the system that works. So the logic is if they can do something that is mobile, aka like on a Chromebook or a laptop, and they can do it on a big screen in a seamless fashion, I think they have an opportunity to be really successful and make a lot of money. And like the Mi Box, which is the latest Android TV box, I want to say it's only like $30 or $40. It's super dirt cheap. And the people that have it seem to appreciate it a lot. I don't see why they couldn't stream games to that device as well.
That's an interesting idea. So the market for all those cheap Android TVs just went through the roof.
Possibly. Yeah. Well, and it's going to be a question of, will it only work on Android TV and not just Android? And if it will only work on Android TV, will it only work on like certified Android TV type systems? Because before it was basically anything running the Chrome browser was in the trial ability to play Assassin's Creed. And I never heard anybody have complaints about it. Everybody touted it, said how great it was running. But I believe it's going to be more than just a browser-based interface. I believe to limit themselves to just a full browser is foolish.
It's crazy for me to think about how full circle we've come. We're back to the dumb terminals again. There's one fancy computer, and we all just have dumb keyboards and monitors.
Well, the big boys love that because then they get money from now until forever.
Yeah, everybody's trying to turn their software into a subscription. Everybody. Nobody wants you to buy anything anymore.
Yeah, corporate America, the stock market, business as we know it, it doesn't matter how much money you gave to somebody earlier today. The only thing that seems to matter is how much money are we going to get from this guy in the future.
Yeah. And it's guys like me that are causing upheaval. You know, I've had the same truck for 11 years. No, 13 years. I've had the same TV for over a decade. I'm not a go out and buy new things person. So if your business model is selling new things, I'm not a customer. So you have to find new ways to make me a customer.
Yeah. The word consumerism didn't exist before like the 1940s. There's no such thing as a consumer. Now we have entire countries that are based upon consumerism. And that, for instance, is China, they believe is the next consumer based country where they're going to be consuming more than they create. So I'll say you might not be normal in this instance, and that's not a bad thing. Yeah. That just means that you're not wasteful.
Yeah. The buy it and throw it away mentality. It's difficult for me to, my grandfather grew up in the Depression. And so we used to pull nails out of things and straighten them and put them back in the bucket because you didn't waste anything. But how many years ago was that? You know, there's been three generations now that don't know what it's like to be without. And so, yeah, it's just use it, throw it away, get another one. It's interesting to see where we're going with that as a culture, as a global culture.
Yeah, and I'll say we Americans technically spend more time each day, each week, each month, each year working. But I think the pendulum swings just as hard when we're not working. We now spend more money than anybody else on our entertainment stuff as well. So the idea of being prudent, the idea of being fiscal, the idea of being rational with your time, both fiscally and entertainment wise, doesn't seem to be a popular place. And it's partially, I think, being shoved down our throats by whether it be Netflix or whether it be Walmart or anybody else.
And so, speaking of useless things that nobody buys, what do you think about foldable phones? I don't get it.
Well, I commented on the Samsung Galaxy Fold last week, which I think is a joke. I seriously think it's nothing more than a Instagram device for influencers, aka people with too much money trying to manipulate you. I can see influencers getting that device just because there is more information that's came out about that device since last week. Like, it doesn't fold flat when you close it. There's still like a money clip, like hole towards the middle of it, which just means when any pressure is put on it, it will break. And then you have TCL or something like that, who's a company that really isn't selling anything this year, but they put like 20 prototypes out there at Mobile World Congress that looked interesting, is the nicest thing I'll say about them. They all look like some sort of crap that no one would ever buy. And then there's the Huawei Mate X, and anybody out there, just to let you guys know, this comes from the country China. I don't think they do Roman numerals. I'm pretty sure the X means X. Just call it a hunch. It was the folding phone. As far as I'm concerned, it still looks like a fiasco in general. But I will say the Huawei Mate X foldable phone at least looks like something that could be a plausible folding phone in the future, except for the fact that it's nearly $3,000, except for the fact that it looks like if it cannot be ridiculously scratch resistant, then it's going to be covered in ridiculous scratches in a matter of a couple weeks, maybe at best. And not to mention that nobody has any idea how to do app and app interactions on a true folding, opening, and closing kind of phone yet. To say it's a fad is, I think, still giving it too much credit, too much credence. I think it's literally nothing more than a test of the market to see what the market will withstand or not withstand.
Well, it's early technology, right? And I'm excited about foldable screens, not because you can make a fold-out phone, although the idea of the phablet that is both a phone and a tablet, that is appealing once they can do it right. But flexible displays, that excites me in general, because at that point, you can make anything a display. And that's sort of what we've been promised, you know, for a while now, is you know, the Harry Potter cloak, the thing that is both a display and flexible. And this is really early on, but at the rate that technology and things move, it may be 10 years from now, we'll have the Space Ghost sleeve, and it'll be, you know, a full-on thing right there in a sleeve.
Yeah, I'll say one of the TCL prototypes they showed literally was like, in fluffy, non-accurate air quotes, it was like a slap bracelet, where when it was off your wrist, it was a flat screen, and then it would contour to being like a watch. I'm excited for the technology to become ubiquitous. I appreciate the fact you said 10 years, because a lot of people out there are saying like 2 years or 3 years. I think it's going to take a while just to drive the price down. And then when the price comes down, then we can see genuine testing and genuine new different uses where we might not have thought about it. And I do like the idea of having a screen fit in a smaller area, and then when I need it to be a bigger screen, I can do something to it and have more surface area to play with. But yeah, I think it's just going to be a trope for at least 2 or 3 years. I don't foresee myself buying one unless it's unbelievably cheap and really like vetted, like really we have a lot of the issues fixed. So maybe 3 years from now.
Yeah, I mean, in 3 years, we'll look at this as the Google Glass. You know, it'll be the same sort of thing. It was a proof of concept that proved to not be a very good concept. But, you know, as a proof of concept, I'm fairly excited about what it could do. I'm still fairly excited about the possibilities of Google Glass. It just hasn't been, there was no market, so there was no development. And it's the kind of thing where you have to develop it before the market appears.
Yeah. Yeah, and then here's like my question I haven't heard anyone ask. Do you remember of a technology introduced into a mobile phone in the last, I don't even know now, 12, 15 years that has truly went completely away? Because I, you know, stop and think, and we have phones still to this day getting launched with like pop-up selfie cameras. We still have phones today being launched with full keyboards. I mean, right now there's two Blackberries that are out there, and I want to say LG just announced a phone with a full-on second screen like keyboard. And then we have, I want to say it was an LG that got showed at Mobile World Congress, that's literally two screens on a phone, not a bendable screen, not a foldable screen, but two separate screens. And we have Motorola like leaking the idea of the classic Razer-esque flip phone with more details coming out. So I don't know of a technology that's came out in a phone that's really completely disappeared. I mean, if a floppy drive came on a phone at one point in time, I think we'd still be able to get them.
I don't think there are any phones, well, maybe I'm wrong, that have the front screen, back screen anymore.
Well, there is, I see, none in America, not even close. But the Huawei Mate X will technically be able to do it. And that's one of the selling features that they're talking about is if you hold the camera, if you hold the device up in phone mode to take a picture of somebody else, they will be able to see what the camera is seeing. So a little bit of it might still exist in a niche, but it's not at all popular. And honestly, even when it was launched, I think 3-4 years ago, it wasn't popular. The one technology I can think of was when the one screen facing you was LCD, OLED, whatever, but the other screen was e-ink. That's one technology I do not recall seeing in about a year, year and a half.
Yeah, but the point stands that things, once they happen, they don't unhappen. It'll be interesting to see where this goes because, you know, it's probably not going to unhappen.
Yeah, and it's like, I do think whenever it does become something else, I'm not sure we're going to be able to really understand what it's going to be until we see it in front of our eyes, and then it will make complete sense. Oh, yeah, that thing.
It's getting so that you have to have this. I've used this analogy before. We're to the point of the giant fins on the 57 Chevy Bel Air that you have to have things that are ridiculous to even get noticed anymore. Because if you release a good solid phone, ho hum, everybody has a good solid phone.
Yeah, it's hard to differentiate. Yeah, the other like Android-ish type news, besides nobody ever using Allo and it dying, nobody using Duo whatsoever. So now they decided to shove it down Pixel owners' throats, and Google Duo now appears in the dialer. We desktop users now can access Google Duo via a full-featured web browser, but you have to first have it installed on a phone. You have to first have it connected with the phone number. Then you can enable it to be used with your Gmail, Google, account. It doesn't look like you can do conference type calling. It still looks like you can only do single person to single person calling.
It's FaceTime. It's Google trying to be FaceTime.
I don't know. I mean, I thought they had a lot of people with PhDs who worked there. You don't win by emulating somebody else. You win by doing something better than somebody else. I mean, am I foolhardy in thinking that?
Well, the reason FaceTime is the de facto communication app for thousands of people, millions of people, even though, you know, Skype on iPhone has been around long before FaceTime, is that Apple gives you that as the primary choice, and it's, to use Steve Gibson's phrase, the tyranny of the default. It's the first thing that people use, and so it's the thing people get used to. And if you're an iPhone user, FaceTime is a verb. You know, we'll FaceTime. I'll talk to you. You know, I FaceTimed last night, and it just is. And Google is hoping to replicate that, but they're only going to be able to do that on their devices, which represent a very small part of the overall Android market. I just think it's too little too late. Apple was able to do it just by sheer brute force and inertia and just, oh, there's a button, I'll click that, instead of having to go download an app and use that. And, you know, to give Apple credit, they are good at timing the market. Skype and other things were around back when people really weren't into video chatting. But when Apple saw that video chatting was going to be the thing where grandma wanted to talk to the grandkids every night before bed, boom, FaceTime, ads, great. And Duo is, I don't know, it's adequate, I guess. It's no better than FaceTime. It's no worse than FaceTime. But it's just another in a sea of offerings that have already been around. And I don't think their play is going to work. And I don't get why they care.
Yes, exactly. And I've never heard people, here's the thing. I don't think Apple users generally complain about Apple things when they're not working right. So I don't know, but I never heard anyone complain about the quality of FaceTime or the fact it wasn't working. I will say when I've seen my mother-in-law FaceTiming, okay, she lives on a peninsula. Her coverage is not good. Her home Wi-Fi is literally the cheapest Wi-Fi she can get from her cable provider, but the lag time that I saw on that FaceTime was unbelievable. It was like literally like 5 seconds behind. But I gotta believe it's working pretty solid for a lot of people, or else I think people would be willing to jump ship. And I don't think anyone is.
Yeah. So you just need an adequate tool that's the default. And that's Google's play here. On their phones, they're going to give you an adequate tool that's the default. And it'll work for the 0.3% of people that buy Google phones.
Yeah. And I don't see even with Android One devices and Pixel Lite devices supposedly coming to the U.S. this year, I don't see them becoming the normal Android device people get unless they're able to literally sell devices for like $100, and then it will be the perfect device to give the next generation of Android users, because, you know, if they break a $100 phone, it's no big deal.
Well, the way Apple did it and the way Nokia did it before them and the way Motorola did it before them is partnering with the phone companies. Google has to seriously subsidize and agree to be the default, the exclusive thing of companies. And at this point, they're going to have to just throw gobs of cash at AT&T and Verizon to make that happen, because Apple already has those deals, and they'd have to pay them so much that it's worth breaking the contract. And it's just not going to happen. So, Google Pixel is never going to be the thing that you walk into an AT&T store and they say, hey, would you like a Google Pixel? But when you walk into an AT&T store now, they say iPhone. Oh, I'm an Android. Oh, well, look over there in that corner. It's right. All about the iPhones.
Yeah, and I've seen it many times. They have the iPads and the iPhones set apart purposefully.
Mm-hmm. Admittedly, my sample size is small. I've probably visited a dozen AT&T stores in my life. But pretty consistently, the iPhones are front and center, and the Android phones are in a dark corner where the light blinks above it. You know, it's just the not only did they not care about it, I think they actively went out of the way to make them less attractive. Now, when Samsung was giving them huge amounts of money, then the Samsung phones were very popular.
Yeah, and the Samsung S10 devices were also announced and shown off. And it looks to me like there's literally nothing spectacular about them in any shape, way, or form at a Mobile World Congress. Surprisingly, there was not like a 5G tech demo to where they're trying to shove 5G down everyone's throat, swearing it's the future of everything. The honest reviews I heard about Mobile World Congress was that this was one of the least spectacular Mobile World Congresses ever, even though you had Huawei make a big splash with the Mate X, even though the Samsung Galaxy Fold was something that the journalist people were looking at, forward to for months and months and months. It just, you know, a big fat dud.
All right. Well, I guess there's nothing else to do but talk about apps.
Well, okay. The first one I wanted to talk about, to be honest, it's because it tugs at the nostalgia strings is what I'm going to say. I am mildly upset at the app though. Williams, was one of the classic pinball cabinet manufacturers. They were one of the longest around pinball manufacturers, the most successful people to make pinball machines. Well, there's an officially licensed Williams pinball made by Zen Studios, T14, completely free to download, but does contain ads and does have in-app purchases, so I'm not a fan of them right there. 105 reviews, average 3.6 reviews, updated February 28th, 2019, 81 megs in size, 1,000 plus installs, version 1.0.1. I believe this might have came out 2 or 3 days ago at the most. I have a couple pinball games on my Switch that are literally free to download, free with a table or basic table, and then you pay for extra tables. Mark, I'm going to tell you now, they are a hell of a lot of fun to play. I'm not a huge pinball guy from back in the day, but looking at this, at least the table quality looks pretty crazy, silly good. But I'm literally afraid to download this and install it just because I think it's going to either want me to pay to keep playing or just watch incessant ads to keep playing. And it saddens me a little bit.
I was never a big pinball fan. I played them when I was at a place, and that was fine. But you nailed it. This is a nostalgia plea, and I don't have that particular fine memories to have that nostalgia over it. So meh, that's all I have to say about that.
Yeah, it's one of those things. It looks good, but you know, I don't think they'll be doing the right thing as far as the end users are concerned.
All right. What's up next?
Okay. Next is another game. This one, I believe, is a direct port. This one was on many other systems. I have it on the Switch. My son loves it. It's called Thumper Pocket Edition by Drool LLC Action Category. Everyone 10 and up. $4.99 to buy. No ads, no in-app purchases. 87 reviews, 4.6 average reviews. Updated February 23rd, 2019, 98 megs in size, 500 plus installs, current version 1.02. This, I know, just came out maybe a couple days ago. This game, I will say, it's a little bit difficult to explain. It does have a video, and to be honest, it needs a video. This has been on many platforms. This is a rhythm-based endless runner. It's like a spaceship traveling through some alternate dimensions. Your scenery changes based upon music. It's a heavily music-influenced game. You can swerve two sides, and you can bump two sides. And if you time them right, you can build up powers. And then if you react at the right time, you can shoot energy beams ahead of you, taking down bosses kind of thing. So it's pattern recognition. Then you go up against a boss at the end of like a stage. My oldest son absolutely loves this game, partially for the music, partially for the challenge. A crazily colorful game is the way I'll put it.
Yeah, I'm trying to think of some sort of analogy. It's like this. It's not like anything. It's like Thumper. But yeah, Endless Runner, tilt controls, I'm assuming.
On the Android, you could do either. I mean, on the Switch, you could do either or. My son did not like tilt controls. He much more liked using the shoulder buttons and the button on the control pad. I showed him this earlier today, told him he could get it on his phone if he wanted to. He like halfway shrugged. It's hard for me to tell sometimes if it's something he isn't interested in or he's just not interested in right now. So I'm going to leave it out there for him again, see if he wants to buy it this week. But I would expect it would also have on-screen controls as well.
Yeah. I almost never have sound on when I play a game. So that's sort of a stop right there for me, because I just am never in an environment where I... When I have a moment where I'm by myself, a game is not what I want to do. I want to listen to a book or an audio or something. So, sorry.
Oh, trust me, Mark, I am on the exact same boat as you. Today is February 28th. Okay, podcast stats. For today, I have listened to 34 hours of audio today. This month, I've listened to 30 days and 5 hours worth of audio. So more than 24 hours every day. So I'm never going to listen to the audio in a game. That's just never going to happen. And here's how important the audio is. If you read the very last line of the description, it says, please note, wireless headphones can add significant audio latency. For best experience, wired headphones or integrated speakers are strongly recommended. So yeah, this game's not for me whatsoever, but I do think my son's going to probably end up picking it up.
It reminds me enough of another game where you tap with the sounds, and then I realized that was a whole genre of games. It's not a game, but anyway, this is a young person's game, and I'm an old man, so that pretty much sums it up.
Okay, well, one more young person's game I'm going to throw out there. And it's because I need to find a way, Mark, to get my youngest son to get some enjoyment out of learning. My son makes no qualms about it, doesn't hide the fact that he tells all the teachers in school that school sucks, that he hates being there, that he hates listening to them, that he hates having to do work that they give him. So I'm trying to find ways to either A, just sit with him and do the work with him and show him that, you know, this isn't as hard as it seems, you know, we can do this together kind of thing. So I've been also trying to find games I can shoot his way that actually help educate him as well. And the hardest thing I think in 2019 for me to find is an educational game that doesn't completely suck. I don't think that's much different than 10 years ago or 20 years ago or 30 years ago, but I swear my kid seems more astute, more aware. Like, wait a minute, this game's trying to teach me something. So I think I'm literally going to bribe him with this game called Arithmagic, A-R-I-T-H-M-A-G-I-C, Math Wizard Game by Gobby Games, everyone 10 and up. He's 11, so I'm happy. $2.99, no ads. I will happily pay money if he plays this, and no ads, no in-app purchases. 4.9 average reviews. Updated February 9th, 2019, 62 megs in size, 500 plus installs, version 1.1.0, 4.1 Android or up, and he does have a tablet. So basically, it's just a game where instead of attacking with a sword and a button, your interactions are driven with math. So yeah, the better he is with math, the quicker he answers math questions, the better the result of the encounter is the way that I put it.
Yeah, it's an interesting concept. You're a math wizard and you cast spells by solving problems. So there's a little monster there. Above the monster's head is negative 11 plus 7, and you put in negative 5 and the monster is dead. Okay. Neat idea.
Yeah, especially if he plays it, but I haven't had a chance to sit down with him yet. So I guess wish me luck.
And it's 4, by the way. I even said the wrong thing. I have a long history of not being able to do math and podcast at the same time, though.
Oh, I don't even try it. That's why I didn't even check you. I'm just rolling with it. We do have at least one email, Mark, I believe.
Oh, I haven't even looked there. Let's see.
I'm from showing. Kevin.
My whole house smells like burned resistor.
Boy.
Yeah, so Kevin says, simply, thought you might like, and he has a link to, looks like, Stardew Valley coming to Android. Long-time listener, loves the show. So that's got your name all over it, Tor.
Yep, and it looks like it's being released on March the 14th, which is a Thursday. I'm going to see if I can install it on my Chromebook Flip, because I will say certain games on a big screen like that are immensely better, and that's my logic, Mark, with thinking set-top box kind of thing. Because then you get more screen real estate. And almost every game I've tried on the Chromebook Flip, even though it might be more cumbersome, harder to reach certain areas, a huge percentage of the games are much, much, much more enjoyable on a bigger screen than a smaller screen. So I'm going to see if I can install it on the Chromebook Flip on launch day, March the 14th. And I'm going to see if I can actually stream it off of the Chromebook Flip. Since it has an HDMI output, I should be able to.
And while I'm in the old in basket here, let me give thanks to MPE for becoming a Patreon supporter. Thank you, MPE.
Absolutely. Okay, and I got another game that weirdly hit a nostalgia kind of thing, except it isn't from something from the 60s or 70s. Instead, this is something from, I believe, 96 or 98-ish, if I'm not mistaken. And that is Tony Hawk's Skate Jam by Maple Media LLC, E for Everyone. Does contain ads, does have in-app purchases, completely free to download. 4,025 reviews, average 3.3 reviews. Updated February 14th, 2019, 29 meg download size. As soon as you download it, it does download more files. 100,000 plus installs, current version 1.1.5. This is trying to be like Tony Hawk's Skate Jam, pro skater all over again. The very first landing screen that you're on after your tutorial just reeks, just absolutely disgustingly reeks of microtransaction hell, is what I'm going to say. But if you ignore most of the useless stuff on that screen and you just do what you can for free, it actually was a decent amount of fun. I had no gyro controls whatsoever. Everything was based upon a button. So it was actually really easy for me to remap the buttons using my GPD Pocket and play it like a game console. I didn't pay any money at all. I played for at least off and on, I'd say an hour of total time. And also I love the fact that in the main logo screen, Tony Hawk is standing there, and for a split second, I thought he had on a Podnut shirt.
Tony Hawk is 50 years old now. He's clearly not a competitive skater anymore, so he's got to make his money somehow. And well, so trading on his former greatness.
It doesn't matter if he's a competitive skater or not. He can still skateboard better than any 50-year-old on the planet, number one.
Probably,
number
yes.
two, there's no doubt in my mind. People would still pay him to come out to a ramp and do basic stuff because he's Tony friggin' Hawk. He has, if you look at what he's done in the last 10 years, he has set up a lot of different organizations to build a lot of safe skate parks inside of cities all over the world, more than a couple in Brazil, more than a couple in the Middle East, more than a couple in Europe, more than a couple in Africa. So he's trying to do everything he can to keep skateboarding as a relevant, safe thing for kids to do instead of getting in trouble kind of thing. And I did see a thing. One of his skateboards was inducted to the Smithsonian Institute along with Rodney Mullen, who are the two combined basically defined what skateboarding meant there for about 15 years. And they both did like a little session right there. And I was amazed at this stuff that they could still pull off even at their advanced age, in air quotes.
Yeah, too old to compete with the 20-year-olds, but still a legend.
Yeah.
I mean...
Yeah, and he obviously kept good care of himself.
Yeah. What else you got? Oh, wait, I just noticed there's a shot there of him jumping Shamu. Okay,
yeah.
That's funny.
They got a whole bunch of stuff in...
The reviews are not positive. John Tuggle says, music is terrible, graphics are subpar, controls are clunky. So, you know, that's kind of everything wrong with it.
I'll say the controls to me, I've played a lot of skateboarding games on Android. They're fine. They're not fantastic. I've definitely had a lot worse. The graphics, it's one of those lowest common denominator things. I think they purposely turned the graphics down a little bit more to get a better frame rate across all devices, but they're not crisp graphics. I mean, literally, you look at Tony Hawk's Pro Skater on the NES and PlayStation 2, these are a little bit better. Not a lot better. They're better, but they're not a lot better. And yeah, it's it seems like microtransaction hell unless you're careful.
All right, what else you got in your bag of tricks for us?
Well, I only wanted to bring one more, and of course it's another game because I don't know why, but literally, Mark, I could not find anything worth talking about that wasn't a game. I liked this one because, again, upfront money, $4.99, no ads, no in-app purchase, called Jack Quest, the Tale of the Sword by Crescent Moon Games Action, E for Everyone. No reviews. Literally, this is pretty much as fresh as you can possibly get. Updated and released, it looks like, February 28th. Size varies with device, 50 installs. I will say I did pay the $4.99 for this game. This was actually a pretty clean game to play, fun, much smoother, I'll say, than this was the smoothest game I played in like 2 or 3 weeks, is what I'm going to say. Actually, pretty story-driven platformer action is the way that I put it, but definitely pixel-styled.
I love that the guy looks like Bob Ross.
His haircut looks like it was directly inspired by Bob Ross, yes.
So this is your basic Mario, Zelda, you know, thing, 2D side-scroller. Looks fun.
Yeah, it's hard to classify some of these games is what I'll say. It basically is just side-scroller platform with a sword, swing, 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 kill, 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 jump, 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 push, 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 and that's like 90% of the game, it looks like. But yeah.
That looks like a fun game to me.
Yeah, and I'm a fan of absolutely non-realistic fantasy violence. I'm trying to like avoid anything like realistic violence. And this honestly stems from basically my childhood back in the day. I liked Super Nintendo. I liked Nintendo 64. I did not like PlayStation 2 and PlayStation 3. I don't want realistic looking games. I want games that everyone knows are games.
Yeah, well said. I've always preferred the cartoony look to the hyper realistic look myself. Sorry, I'm not a very good color man tonight. I'm trying, just not working for me.
Well, and I'll give one like stupid, really quick hardware review, Mark. QCY-T1 Bluetooth earbuds, which is a lot of nonsensical stuff that makes no sense to anybody. Basically, Bluetooth earbuds in a little carrying case. Carrying case is also a portable battery pack. Each one is held in by a magnet. As soon as you take it out, it automatically syncs with the device. Literally, by the time I take it out of the device and put it to my ear, it already synced to the phone. It is unbelievably quick to sync with the phone. $29 on Amazon. Each one independently works with mono mode. Each one has a microphone built into it. Using them one at a time or paired, you get 4 hours of battery life. Stick it back in the charger, you get a total of 15 hours of juice off of the charger as well. So you get about 9 extra hours off of the portable case. Portable case charges off of a micro USB. Really hard to beat for $29 is what I'm going to say. Just works. Just works really good too. And the thing that shocked me was, on my phone, I get the notification that the battery's low. And I get like a sound on the device saying, oh, the battery's low. It still lasts for about an hour on a low battery, which, to be honest, I don't like Bluetooth headphones that tell you battery low, click, and then it turns off. Well, no, that's battery out, not battery low.
And that's most of them.
Yes. Yeah. And with these, at least for the first couple of days I've had them, literally it says low battery and almost an hour, they'll still work.
So yeah. My problem with that type of headphone is that I have things don't stick in my ears. The typical earbuds fall out of my ears, and I would drop those things and step on them, or it'd fall down the elevator shaft, and they would be gone. The things that I use at work are, you know, the basic necklace style, and I lose those frequently. Hey, so
yeah, I can't use them because they get caught on everything. I mean, they come with 3 different sized end pieces, you know what I mean? The flexible parts. Mm-hmm. I will say I have heard people in the past use services that you literally pay for the service. They send you something, you put it in a boiling pot, you get a little bit warm, you let it cool down a second, then you shove it in your ear, and then you pull it out, and then you send it back to them, and then they send you custom rubber pieces that can stick on devices. I've never use them. I'm surprised at how these don't fall out. It makes no sense. Looking at them in the picture, in the mirror, they should not stay in my ear, but they do. I don't know how.
I'm curious. I'm interested to try those out. I wear these in-ear monitors when I'm doing the show, and you know, I don't know if you've noticed, but 5 or 6 times during the course of an hour show, I will push them in and readjust them just because I just have earlobes that don't work with the iPod ones. Don't even try. Those things won't even stay for a half a second for me. I just have mutant ears, I guess.
Yeah. And, and what I'll say is $29. The normal price of this style of headphone, even 6 months ago, was $100.
Yeah.
So they like seriously shot down in price. I am genuinely shocked at how light the headphone is as well. I swore it would be a small little brick, and the actual charging case I swore would be heavy. I don't understand how they're so light. It is so light, and yet it has batteries that last for 4 hours in it. It boggles my mind.
So if you're using them in mono mode, you can get 8 hours between the two. And how long does it take them to charge once you pop them on the little thing?
When I put it in the charger, it's about maybe 35 minutes, okay. 40 minutes total to charge. And it does charge the base faster than it charges the headphones. So if the battery's low and you plug it up, the base will be done charging well before the headphones are charged. So it isn't like you're going to have to wait for that.
Put a link to that in the show notes.
Okay.
I'm interested.
Yeah. the name of them are horrible, is what I'm going to say. Literally one of the worst named Bluetooth earbuds I've ever seen in my life.
How's the audio quality?
It does seem like, compared to my last ones, it does seem like it might be a touch lower in volume. In hindsight, I'll say the last ones I had, I think, were really loud. I almost never had my phone turned up all the way on volume when I had my headphones in, because it was literally too loud. With these, I still don't turn it up all the way, but I did have to turn it up a little bit. I don't listen to a lot of music, even though I will say today, Mark, between you and me, you'll understand. I hope you'll understand and you won't look down on me too much. Today I woke up, I got to work, and I said to self, if I'm going to cry today, I'm going to cry on my terms because of something beautiful. So I literally put both earbuds in. I never have both earbuds in. And I turned on the Fifth Element opera scene, but actually live performed by, I believe it's the Japanese orchestra. And if anyone doesn't know what I'm talking about, it was basically a scene in the movie that the music director, I believe, admitted, this is a piece that cannot be performed. What we are doing here, it is involving magic, movie magic, the things that are being done, nobody can do. And then like 6 years later, a Japanese orchestra performed it live. And the lady has maybe more talent than any singer I think I've ever seen in my life. And I'm not an opera fan. So I just sat at my desk, I listened to that, and I wept a little bit because it was just beautiful, beautiful.
Song that's been running through my head lately is Simon and Garfunkel's Sound of Silence. It's one of the most, it's one of those things, it's time has come and everybody's covering it now. Pentatonix is covering it, Stained covered it, but that's the song that's been running through my head lately and I can't get it out.
Yeah, we had a time of music where harmony drove emotion, and I don't know if we're going to get that back again.
Oh, sure. Yeah. It's just a pendulum. All pendulums swing. I used to joke, when I was in college in a heavy metal band, you know, and we were just playing thrash metal, and, you know, the guitarist or vocalist is, you know, I used to joke that, you know, my kids would be listening to like Jet Engine Noise and Heavy Machinery, because you can't get any harder than that. But the pendulum swung back and NSYNC happened. So, you know, you never know what's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there are people out there right now who are singing, who have lots of talent. I'm not going to be dumb. It doesn't mean I have to like what they do. You know?
Well said. All right. Well, I think I'm going to take this opportunity to wrap it up. And so the items discussed tonight were Google Duo by Google, which we don't really care about, but I'm mentioning it because it was there. Williams Pinball by Zen Studios. Thumper Pocket Edition by Drool LLC. Arithmagic Math Wizard by Google Games. Tony Hawk Skate Jam by Maple Media LLC. Jack Quest The Tale of the Sword by Crescent Moon Games. So, yeah, a short spate tonight, but a good discussion, and I hope we acquitted ourselves well. You can tell us how well we did by letting your voice be heard. Dor, we haven't given the phone number out forever. 706 Podnut, right?
7076 Podnut.
Dang, I was so close. 7076 Podnut. Give us a call. Leave us a voicemail. We'll make you famous. Send an email to AAA@podnuts.com. Or if you really want us to call you out in the best way possible, go over to patreon.com/androidappaddicts and throw money at us. And we will dedicate a show to you like we did this year tonight to Mr. Bobby Y.
Yeah, and I still want somebody to send a video voicemail to All About Android and say, hey, AAA, glad to hear that. And then at the very end, say, I've always been a fan of Android App Addict, so thank you guys for everything, just to see if they pick up on it.
That would be funny. Nobody's going
to. I think it would.
I mean, yeah,
I know. It'd be interesting. And I doubt they would pick up on it anyway.
All About Android, the other AAA. All right, Dor, what final words of wisdom do you have for us tonight? What sage advice? If nobody hears anything else we say tonight, but just this next 30 seconds, what do you want them to hear?
If you feel at all uncomfortable about anything, go to a doctor. Get it checked out, please. This is 2019. There's no reason to fear a doctor. Period. Support those who support you. Thank everyone for all their support. I love you guys. September 20th through 22nd, I'm going to be in Grand Rapids, Michigan for TechCon Unplugged. Should be a hell of a lot of fun. I have my ticket done. I think I'm going to drive there, but I haven't booked the hotel yet. That's coming in about a week.
All right. That is still a possibility for me, but it's at the end of a school break, and I don't know if I'll do it or not, but I'm considering it. So maybe I'll see you there. Maybe not. But, you know, either way, it's okay to cry. Just remember that. All right, everybody. That's it for this show. We'll see you next week on Android App Addicts.
My name is Jeff Halish. I am the host of Podnuts, the Computer Repair Podcast, where we take live calls on the air to answer your questions on running and operating your computer repair business every Sunday at 4 p.m. Eastern. You can check it out over at podnuts.com/Computer Repair Podcast Live.
Music provided by Steve Cherubino at stevecherubino.com.